Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Tuesdays, I am often, at least on my good weeks, joined by a fabulous co-host, James Santol, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. He hosts the program Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. A bit of breaking news. If you have been following the Sean Combs sex trafficking trial in Manhattan, apparently the jury has sent a note to the judge indicating that they've reached verdicts on 4 of 5 counts, which include sex trafficking and transportation for prostitution, but that the jury remains divided on the most complex count that he was facing, the RICO count. That's count one. So again, that's some interesting breaking news. Also today, a federal judge has blocked RF Kennedy Jr., the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, from dismantling U.S. healthcare agencies, finding that the administration's plan, Trump's plan to make us all sicker, violates the Administrative Procedure Act. Importantly, the judge ended her ruling today with these words. Circling back to the separation of powers principles covered earlier in this decision, the executive branch is vested with the power and is imbued with the responsibility to faithfully execute the laws which govern the governance structure of our country. Note that, faithfully execute the laws which govern the governance structure of our country. More on that in a moment. She continues, the executive branch does not have the authority to order, organize, or implement wholesale changes to the structure and functions of the agencies created by Congress. Something basically everybody considered a fairly well-settled point until this administration. She continues, as Judge Smith in this very district court recently warned when presented with the declining depth of civics education in public schools, quote, we may choose to survive as a country by respecting our Constitution, the laws and norms of political and civic behavior, and by educating our children on civics, the rule of law, and what it really means to be an American and what America means. Or we may ignore these things at our and their peril. Strong words there. It is this function of our governance system, the governing of our governance system, that is at greatest threat. Now, this doesn't mean much in the abstract to us, but here's the question that I want to ask each and every one of you, including you, Mr. Santel, and that is, does it feel to you like Democrats are just constantly playing catch-up? Like, there is no real forethought into what might be coming next from the Trump administration. And here's a couple of thoughts on this. I think, and many legal scholars think, that the Supreme Court's bend in Trump 2.0 was utterly predictable on virtually all fronts. Now, to put this in proportion, again, Donald Trump has accessed the Supreme Court's shadow docket 19 times in under 6 months or six-ish months. That is outstripping even Trump's pace from his first administration, and it also outstrips all predecessor presidents, regardless of party. What does this mean? He's using the Supreme Court to effectively keep his policies in place, even if they may be totally unconstitutional. He's won 12 out of 19 of those, but only in one of those cases has the Supreme Court given even the tiniest indication that what he's doing is actually legal. In all the other cases, they either said nothing or frankly hat-tipped a bit that it may be illegal. So he's won 12 out of 19, but only one of those is legal? So where does that leave the rest of us in the interim period? So again, my question to every one of you is, are Democrats constantly playing catch-up? And why? How do we fix that? What's at stake? Now, to put what the Supreme Court's done for Donald Trump 2.0 in perspective, again, the decision on Friday was about getting rid of these universal injunctions. But the Supreme Court was twice presented with that exact question under the Biden administration, and yet it chose never to answer it. So as far as that equal justice under the law thing, seems a little bit suspect to me. And I think Democrats have to stop seeing leaves on trees and try to see more of the forest and get a bit better at the big picture strategy. Again, we've got court proceedings. We've got polls saying that Trump is in the toilet. People hate the big, brutal bill. They're scared of it. And we've got protests going on nationwide. So where are the Democrats to make hay of all of this? I'm not quite sure. Jim, what do you make of it? Are the Democrats just perpetually playing catch up to Republicans?
You know, one of my favorite broadcasters many years ago, he happened to be on a major network, often said, to a knife fight with Republicans, sometimes the Democrats bring their copies of Proust. Now, you and I are both big, big fans of Proust. There's lots of good stuff in there, but that's your point, right? At times call for more aggressive responses. And to add to the volume and the strength of your question, recognize what happened on Friday has the book and a year ago today, right, Maggie, you and I were also talking about this, when the Supreme Court not only found that a president is indeed above the law, cannot be prosecuted for certain kinds of crimes, but also in those first pages said things like a president's got to be agile, got to be athletic, got to be muscular, got to be able to move quickly. That is a commission to Donald Trump 1 year ago. And now we've got the bookend to that from the Supreme Court saying, and oh, by the way, when he acts that way, when he acts as he has done in all of these different areas, all these executive orders, legislating from the White House as opposed to accomplishing compromise,
Congress, right?
When he does that, the most that you can do now is go into your own federal district court, maybe in your jurisdiction, as you were just saying. Maybe you get the right plaintiffs, and maybe you can get a federal judge to enjoin it right here, right now. But you're going to have to do that maybe 93 times in order to accomplish what you need to accomplish. That's the nature of the challenge to everybody, including the Democrats, who have to wake up and say, this is not just a Supreme Court that is partisan. This is not just a Supreme Court that every so often issues these opinions. We can take umbrage and take objection to what a Kavanaugh or John Roberts says. This is a Supreme Court that's changing the Constitution and changing the very ways in which we do government.
Yeah, that's the constitutional crisis. And instead of Democrats sitting around clutching pearls and saying, oh, my God, there's a constitutional crisis, anticipate that and figure out how to get ahead of the tactics. Right. That's part of what I'm talking about. We got a text from Eric in Madison. Where's the DNC chair? Why is his hair not on fire? I think we should be decrying the court, decrying the lawlessness of the Trump administration, but talking about this in terms of the impacts on people locally. These aren't abstract harms. Things are in peril, and the pain of that peril is coming to your doorstep, right? Like, that's the connection that needs to get made. As far as the DNC chair, I literally could not care less about what party chairs do, because it's not about the parties anymore. This is a cross-partisan issue, meaning this is for all Americans of good faith to stand up. We've got sound of the president today threatening to deport citizens. Jacob, if you can play that puppy when you are ready, let's take a listen, because it's scary.
To happen, and it did happen, but we also have a lot of bad people that have been here for a long time, people that whack people over the head with a baseball bat from behind when they're not looking and kill them, people that knife you when you're walking down the street. They're not new to our country. They're old to our country. Many of them were born in our country. I think we ought to get them the hell out of here, too. You want to know the truth. So maybe that'll be the next job that we'll work on together. But I think getting them out, you know, we forget about them. We have some very bad, we had some bad accidents in New York. They're not accidents.
It's interesting to me that his prerequisite for deportation is criminality, but it's not proved criminality before a jury of your peers. It's alleged. And didn't that guy get convicted of like 34 felonies?
And he's still a convicted felon to this time. And that should be underscored as well. We've got a president, first time in our nation's history, who is sitting in the White House with a criminal conviction. And yes, indeed, a fairly limp-wristed sentence imposed upon him. But nonetheless, that's a judgment against him. And Maggie, this notion again of doing more, there are things out there that can be done. And it doesn't just have to be the civics instruction that you and I would give, the trappings issues of class actions and all those kinds of things. It can be those fundamental things joined with, again, using things like the take care clause of the Constitution. That's the oath of office the president takes. I'm going to take care that the laws of the nation be faithfully executed. Take that and you juxtapose it against, pick your executive order. It can be birthright citizenship, but any one of these others, including dismantling USAID, which is coming to an end as of today, all these kinds of firing people who are these in these incredibly important positions, giving access to the Social Security Administration, the Musk team, right? Getting rid of the transgender members of our military from the Pentagon. Pick your item and put those two together. And why is it that in Lafayette Park across from the White House, every single day, there are 435 members of Congress. There are 47 Democratic senators, and maybe there are a few others. Maybe Susan Collins on a good day would also join them up there. Why every single day do we not hear from some of them decrying what is going on and sending that message? And then you join it with what you just indicated with a personal story. Here's a human being. Here's a baby that we know. Here is a person whose husband, whose wife, whose spouse, whose partner has been taken away. Here's somebody who's no longer employed. Here is, as we go into hurricane season, the fact that we no longer have the capacity through NOAA to predict these things, as the president is hoping to do, apparently. All of those things have to be shouted from the soapbox and beyond.
We have Susan from McFarland joining us. Susan, say hello to Jim. What would you like to share?
Oh, hey, Jim. I was enjoying your show on Saturday. I'm listening to you, and I totally agree with you about this. However, I feel very demoralized a lot of times because there's nobody doing this every day, and I can talk to people, and I can do my part, and I can go to marches, and I can call my legislator and my senator, and I can call congressmen. But at the end of the day, until the body that really runs this government, the Democratic Party, the people that who are on the Democratic Congress, really stand up to all this and really in a forceful manner, are we going to make a change? I mean, I agree, the ground up is great, but at this point in time, it doesn't look like we have any ground to stand on. And so many people are suffering, it just breaks my heart.
Susan, thanks so much for that call. When we return, I'm going to give Susan, and I hope every single one of you, a bit of hope about how this has to trickle through the system, that there are the pistons of protest, the pistons of our democracy, the four P's. I'm going to give them to you when we come back. Do not lose faith. The fight continues. Inspired by my sometimes co-host Matt Rothschild, I may even have a poem to inspire you when we return. And don't worry, we're getting to the big, brutal bill and what it might mean in Wisconsin. We got an expert guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.